Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, we talked about when God is silent. We talked about the attitude and the practice that we should have when God is silent in the Bible. When the Bible does not speak about things, what should be our attitude? You know, a lot of times you'll be talking with religious folks and you'll ask them why they are doing this or that, and they'll say, well, where does it say not to do it in the Bible? Where does it say, thou shalt not? And surprisingly, some have even justified things like abortion. They'll say, well, the Bible does not say, thou shalt not have an abortion, so that we can have one anyway. And so, it's a very serious matter, this matter of God's silence. And we studied last week that there are basically two different attitudes toward this. Some believe that when God is silent, you're permitted to do something. Others believe that when God is silent, then you're prohibited from doing it, which is the right attitude to have. Well, we noticed in our study last week some principles. We looked at seven of them. And when you look at those principles, you find that God wants us to go by His speech, not by His silence. God authorizes us by His speech, not by His silence. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you order a meal, we do this all the time, the server comes by and we tell her, I would like a glass of iced tea to drink, and I would like the grilled chicken and the Caesar salad. We don't then proceed to say all of the things that we don't want. We just tell her what we want. We don't have to mention all of the things that we don't want. I don't want the hamburger. I don't want the barbecue. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want Coke to drink. I don't want lemonade. We just state what we want, and that settles it. You don't have to state all of the things that you don't want. You just simply state what you want. We do that in our everyday lives. And yet when it comes to religion, all of a sudden, people want to do things based upon what God has not said. We will not afford Him the same as we do one another. And so when God is silent, that does not authorize or give us action. We looked at seven principles. Number one, do not add to or take from God's word. Number two, we can know what pleases God only from what He has revealed by His words. Number three, we must act by God's expressed or spoken authority, not by His silence. Number four, faith comes by hearing God's word, not by presuming upon His silence. Number five, when we speak or preach or teach, we must use God's word, not His silence. Number six, good works are contained in Scripture, not in silence. And number seven, God wants us to pay attention to His words or His speech, not His silence. So that's what we studied last week. And this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to conclude this study by looking at some Old Testament and New Testament examples and illustrations of when God is silent, that does not give His people permission to act. And if you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 14, we will begin there in the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13, 14, and 15. And what we want to learn this morning from these examples and illustrations is that when God is silent, He does not give us permission to act, and He wants us to wait. He wants us to wait and get His word. It may be hard for us. We may want to press forward. We may want to be impetuous, and we may want to go strike out on our own and not be patient. But we need to learn to wait and get God's permission first, meaning not wait for God to personally speak to us, but wait until we learn in the Bible what we are authorized to do or not do. In Exodus chapter 14, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, we find that they're waiting there at the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is pressing upon them from behind. The Red Sea is in front of them. And we read in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Jehovah will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And Jehovah said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry ground." In verse 13, they're told to stand still and wait. In verse 15, they're told to go forward. We wait for God's permission. And so when God said go forward, that gave them permission. But it was God's speech that gave them that permission to go forward. The Israelites waited for God's permission on this occasion before they acted. And we need to follow the same example of Moses when he told the Israelites to stand still. We need to be willing to wait for God's answer. We're not to go ahead and do what we want. How long will we wait? Well, until God answers. And we need to turn and read in our Bibles and look for His answer. We need to turn to the Scriptures and find out what God wants us to do. But stand still and don't go forward until you're given spoken permission by God in the Bible to do so. Let's look at a second example. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, where we have a case of blasphemy. The Israelites in the Ten Commandments had already been told not to take the name of the Lord in vain. But here's a case of where someone actually is caught doing that, and they need to know what to do with him. And so we're going to read about that. What are we to do with this particular blasphemer? They knew that it was wrong, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. But they were uncertain of the penalty for blasphemy and who it was that was to execute that penalty. And so in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 10, these two men are fighting. And the text says that one of them blasphemed the name and cursed. Verse 11. Leviticus 24, verse 11. And his mother's name was Shilamith. They brought him to Moses, and his mother's name was Shilamith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan, and they put him in ward, that it might be declared unto them at the mouth of Jehovah. They confined him until they could get further instruction from God. God's answer later came, soon came, and he said it would be death by stoning. So if you read verses 13 and following, verse 16, "He that blasphemeth the name of Jehovah, he shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him," and so forth. The Israelites waited for God's permission and then acted when they were given that permission. Look at verse 23, "And Moses spake to the children of Israel, and they brought him forth that had cursed out of the camp, and stoned him with stones. And the children of Israel did as Jehovah commanded Moses." We need to follow that same example. We don't act until we're given permission. So they put him in ward. They put him in custody. Underscore it in your Bible, verse 12, "that it might be declared unto them at the mouth of Jehovah." You go by what is declared, by what is spoken, not by God's silence. Let's look at another example. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, the example of the first first Passover being observed after the Exodus in Numbers chapter 9. The Israelites had already been told that the Passover was to be observed in the first month on the 14th day of the month. And so they already knew about that. The problem was, what if some people wanted to observe the Passover then, but were unclean on that day? So turn with me to Numbers chapter 9, verse 6. And there were certain men who were unclean by reason of the dead body of a man, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, We are unclean by reason of the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer the oblation of Jehovah in its appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stay ye, just stand still, wait, that I may hear what Jehovah will command concerning you. Stand still, wait, until I get an answer, until I get permission from the Lord. He has to speak. I need to be able to hear that before we can act. We're not going to presume upon his silence. He's been silent up to this point about your specific situation. But we're not going to be acting presumptuously and doing whatever we want, coming up with our own ideas. And so God did give an answer. Verse 9, Jehovah spake unto Moses. You can read the text there. He tells them on the next month, on the second month, on the 14th day, they could observe that Passover. So they had to wait for God's permission before they could act. When he gave them that permission, which was they were to observe it on the second month, 1 month after the others, then they could do that. We must follow the example of Moses and the Israelites when God is silent. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 15. Just turn over a few pages here. You turn to Numbers chapter 15, you find an example of a man who had been picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And they were to honor the Sabbath day, keep it holy. This man was not doing that. He's a Sabbath breaker. They knew that Sabbath breaking was wrong. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Exodus 31, 12 through 17. And they knew that the penalty for such was death. They didn't know the specific type of death that was required. So, when they find this man, Numbers 15, 32 and 33, they found him gathering sticks. They bring him unto Aaron in the congregation, verse 34, and they put him in ward, just like we saw before. Hold him in custody, because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Underscore that in your Bible. It should not be declared what had been done to him. We have to go by what is declared, not by God's silence. And Jehovah said unto Moses, The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him to death with stones as Jehovah commanded Moses. They waited until they had gotten God's word. Why did they put him in ward, in custody, hold on to him? Because it had not been declared what should be done to him. They did not act because they had not been given permission to act. And once God told them to stone him, then they did that very thing. We need to wait until God speaks and gives us permission. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, there had been a day where everything was going great and they were doing everything according to God's law. And they were honoring God. But for some reason, in Leviticus 10, verse 1, the text says, And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer and put fire therein and laid incense thereon and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And there came forth fire from before Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. The word strange here comes from the Hebrew word meaning foreigner, foreign. It was something that was not commanded by God, not authorized, not spoken. And God's judgment upon them was, ironically, they were offering up unauthorized fire, fire that had not been commanded, and fire came forth from before Jehovah and devoured them, and they died. God's judgment on doing something that was not authorized. What if Nadab and Abihu would have said something like, Lord, you did not say not to offer strange fire. Where did you ever say not to offer strange fire? That's what is often done today. Well, where does the Bible say not to? I can do it because the Bible doesn't say not to. When we do something that God has not commanded to be done, we act where God is silent and we profane God's worship. We're to sanctify God. Look at the next verse, verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, "This is that Jehovah spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them, set apart, that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. That's how we glorify God, not by doing things that are not in the Bible, but by doing what God tells us to do. We glorify Him, we sanctify Him in our lives. We're to sanctify Christ in our hearts. 1 Peter 3:15. We're to set Him apart, serious, holy, honor Him. And we do that by following His speech, not His silence. So it's a great lesson that we need to learn today. You know, there are individuals in the Word of God who did things and they're punished for that. They did things that they did not have authority to do. And we'll look at that in just a minute. To demonstrate that when we act, when we have not been given permission to act, God is disappointed in us and God punishes us. And today, we may not have the fire of the Lord literally devour us, but there will be an eternal judgment, hellfire, that will punish us when we act without God's authority. One other example on this matter of waiting to get God's word before acting. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah is talking to people in his day that the Israelites, particularly in and around Jerusalem, and they are idolatrous people. They're ungodly in many ways. They're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 19 in verse 4, Jeremiah 19:4, because they have forsaken me, God is speaking through Jeremiah, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place, the temple, and have burned incense in it unto other gods that they knew not, they and their fathers and the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents, and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the day shall come, saith Jehovah, that this place shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And of course, later Jerusalem was conquered by Babylon, and the temple was destroyed and judged by God. They were doing things, verse 5, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Look at that statement, spake it. Permission from God comes from His speech, not His silence. He did not give them spoken permission to do these things. And so they should not have been doing these things. The Lord had been silent on the very things which the Israelites had been doing. We must limit ourselves, friends, to what God tells us to do. And I hope that these Old Testament examples will teach us this very thing. In just a moment, we'll look at a few New Testament examples that teach the same thing. But when you look in the Word of God, you find that individuals did things that they were not given permission to do. And they're punished by God. For example, look at the story, the well-known story in the Old Testament of Moses striking the rock in Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. The Israelites were complaining about not having water to drink. And God said, I'll give them water, but you speak to the rock, verse 8. Speak to the rock and I will provide water. Well, later Moses smote the rock twice, verse 11, and he's punished for it. He's not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. What if Moses had said, Lord, Where did you say not to smite the rock? Thou shalt not smite the rock. Where did you say thou shalt not kick the rock? Thou shalt not lay on top of the rock. Thou shalt not lean up against the rock. And you could just go on and on with that. No, all God had to say was, speak to the rock, and that would have been enough to give authority. You don't have to list all of the things that you don't want to do. Moses chose not to limit himself to what God told him to do. And we need to follow this same example in our lives today. And when you read in Numbers chapter 20, and you come on down to verse 12, you find that it's the same thing as Nadab and Abihu. When Moses did that, he did not sanctify God. He did not set God apart in honoring him and following his word. And Jehovah said unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed not in me. Moses was a believer in God. He believed that God existed. He listened to God on many occasions. He was a very good leader otherwise. But when we don't do what God says to do and we do something else, we don't believe God. We don't obey him. Because you believe not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. You did not set me apart in front of them. You did the wrong thing. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And so Moses had to die without being able to go into the land of Canaan. Here's another example. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, Saul, King Saul, offered up a sacrifice because they were going to war with the Philistines. And this was, sacrifices were to be offered up by the priests only, not a king. Verse 12. And he did that which he was not given permission to do. And he's punished for it. Uzziah, another king, later in 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 23, attempted to offer up incense, which was to be offered by the priest only, not a king. Verse 16. Both Saul and Uzziah were judged accordingly. Both had their rulership taken away. And Uzziah, on top of that, broke out in leprosy. What if Saul or Uzziah had said something like, look, priests, where did the Lord say that a king could not offer a sacrifice? Where did he say that this person is not allowed to do it and that person is not allowed to do it? You go by what he says, not by what he does not say. You know, a lot of people think that a thou shalt not is the way that things are authorized. There's plenty of thou shalt nots in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when God says thou shalt not, we're not supposed to do that. But that's not the only consideration that we need to make when we're trying to know what God wants us to do. His speech is what authorizes. We must limit ourselves to what God tells us to do. And the example of Saul and Uzziah are examples that we must follow today. We could look at Jeroboam in 1 Kings 12, and we could look at David, who was returning the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem on a new cart, and there's problems with that. They were supposed to transport it on the shoulders of the Levites, Numbers 4, verse 15. They chose not to do that. What if David had said, where does it say not to carry the ark on a new cart? We must limit ourselves to what God tells us to do. I wanted to look at a few examples in the New Testament before we close this morning. We're running out of time, and I wanted to look at an example or two in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 15, there were those who were going about saying that in order to be saved, you had to obey the New Testament gospel, and you also had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. They were adding things to the gospel plan of salvation. Certain Pharisees who had believed, Acts chapter 15 and verse 5, and they were causing and troubling people with this, teaching erroneous things. And when this is being addressed in Jerusalem, when it comes time for the apostles and the elders and the whole church to talk about this matter, a letter is written. And look at Acts 15:24, "For as much as we have heard that certain who went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, to whom we gave no commandment." They were not given commandment. They were not given permission to go out telling people and teaching people that circumcision was necessary for salvation. The Lord had not authorized that. He was silent on them doing that. And they were out troubling people, verse 24, doing things that they did not have permission to do. We need to limit ourselves to what God tells us to do, friends. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 through 13, God never said to the angels, "Thou art my son." So that excluded them from being God's son. God was silent regarding the angels. He was silent on these matters with the angels, so they had not a right to claim the title of son because God never said to them, "Thou art my son." He has to say that before it applies to you. God said these things to Jesus, however, which gives him the right to claim sonship. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 14, God had said, this is in the Old Testament, to Moses, that priests were to come from the tribe of Levi. You can read this in Exodus 28, 29, Leviticus 8, Numbers 3, and so forth. But he was silent concerning any other tribe serving as priests. How then could Jesus, who is of the tribe of Judah, serve as a high priest? Either the old law must be broken by acting where God is silent, or the old law must be changed. And the answer is the old law was changed. So God said things, and that's what we go on, not what God does not say. By exploring some of these Old and New Testament examples this morning, we have learned, like the Israelites, we need to wait and get answer from God before we act. Like Moses, we must tell others to stand still until we get permission from God before we act. And even he had to learn. He had to learn to follow his own rule. He didn't do that when he struck the rock. He should have done only what he was told to do, and he learned the hard way. And number three, those who do not act when God is silent are blessed, and those who do act when God is silent are condemned. Like Moses who struck the rock, like Saul and Uzziah struck with leprosy, and these other examples, we are condemned when we act, when we're not given permission to act. Let us be content to do only what God tells us to do, no more, no less. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the program. We hope that this lesson has been helpful to you, and we ask that you tune again next Saturday morning for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.